What an unbelievable Thursday to you. What's cracking? Welcome to the program. We are coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. Whether you want to buy a home or refinance your current home, you know Rocket can. All right, then. Let me lay out the show. Actually, everything is very proportionate today. I have an interview in hour number one. I have an interview in hour number two. I have an interview in hour number three. So what that means to you is you should start dialing me right now. If you know what you want to talk about, hit me up. Don't wait for me. I mean, I'm going to set the table for you. I'm going to set the agenda for you. I've got some things I want to get to. But in the event that there's something you want to talk about that I'm not going to get to, don't wait on me. Just get up in here. Kind of reminds me of that beef segment yesterday. The beef segment was so amazing. The What's Your Beef segment. And I'm always taken by the fact that you show up for that and then you disappear. You don't need to wait for a Wednesday in a beef segment to come in here with a beef or a take or something.
Is this the beef jerky segment?
You don't need a reason. I'll give you a reason. The reason is I'm here. The reason is the phone lines are open. The reason is it's toll free. Get up on the phones. 1-800-636-8686. Start dialing. And if you're just not comfortable with that, you don't like the sound of your own voice, you don't need to be on the air, hit me up on social media, at Jim Rome on Twitter, at Jim Rome on Instagram. Posted a story this morning on Instagram. So you want to hit that. The interview is set up like this. Coming up at 40 past, a Super Bowl champ and a six-time Pro Bowler, Reggie Wayne. 9:40 Pacific, 12:40 Eastern. Coming up in hour number two, good friend of the program, Jim Trotter. Excellent, excellent, excellent NFL reporter working with NFL Network. Jim Trotter in the second hour. And coming up in hour number three, guy that I've got immense respect for, Micah Hyde, safety for the Buffalo Bills. If you're looking for episode 190 of the Jim Rome podcast, it still has not happened. It was supposed to happen yesterday. It has not happened. Probably it's not going to happen today. But I've got a really good idea for it on Friday, which I will expose to you a little bit later on. All right, so again, your telephone number is 1-800-636-8686. What I want to do at the top today is I want to change up and go with something a little bit different. Instead of going NFL, and I could go exclusively NFL every single day, I do want to talk some MMA because you know we are big. This is a big combat sports house, big UFC house, big MMA house. And it was Dana White who appeared on the program yesterday. And Dana was talking about Saturday's UFC card, and it's a really good card. You've got two championship belts on the line at the very top of the card. But as I told Dana, even though the card is stacked and you've got a couple of title fights, the fight that I'm really interested in and the fight that most people who follow this type of thing is really interested in is the return of Nick Diaz. And not just the return of Nick Diaz, which in and of itself is an amazing thing for that sport, but it's Nick Diaz against Robbie Lawler in a rematch of their fight 17 years ago. This isn't one of those celebrity fight things where you get a couple of has-beens who need a paycheck. This is still Nick Diaz, all right? And this is an enormous Diaz family house. You probably know that. So as Dana and I talked about it, it would not be a Diaz fight week unless there was some sort of curveball. And I thought that the curveball was going to be Nick requesting during fight week to fight at 185 instead of 170. You know, all of a sudden, Nick in midweek's like, hey, yeah, by the way, yeah, not feeling 170. Why don't we do this at 185? If it were anybody else, you'd be like, are you kidding me? But if Nick does it, it's just Nick being Nick, and it's awesome. And sure enough, the new weight was agreed upon yesterday when Lawler did show up in Las Vegas, and they're going to fight at 185. It's a wild move. It's a wild thing, or it would be if it didn't involve Nick. Another reason why I love Nick. Come to find out, though, that was not the biggest curveball. Because while I really wanted this fight, we've all been waiting for the triumphant return of Nick Diaz to the cage. While I really want this fight, apparently Nick himself does not at all. In fact, apparently Nick is not even sure why he's there at all.
Like, what am I doing here?
In fact, it sort of sounds like it's the last place he wants to be.
Like, what am I here for?
Right? I think. He sat down for an absolutely amazing interview with Brett Okamoto. And this interview is incredible. All right, so he's talking about the build-up to the fight. And I've got to say, the interview itself, it really is, even for a Diaz family member, it's one of the most compelling interviews I've ever seen. Ever. And I've made a living doing interviews for the last 3 decades. This is one of the most amazing interviews I've ever seen. Like, I'm not even sure I've ever seen an interview quite like this one. There is so much to like in this interview, which is why I'm starting with a reset of it today. Like the fact that Nick has been away for 6 years, and during that time he did some traveling, opened up a gym, wanted to do some teaching. But from the sounds of things, things with his business partners did not work out. So he's back to fighting.
It's just what I do, you know. It's just what I do. I tried to get away from it, but really, it's kind of inevitable.
All right, so we're just getting started here. But that's Nick saying, hey, you know, I don't even want to do it. I really don't even want to do it, but it was inevitable. I got dragged back in. But then again, Nick Diaz, you know, just because he's fighting doesn't mean that he likes to fight. In fact, Nick's been on record for a pretty long time as saying he does not love fighting. He's made that pretty clear.
So all the people around me and all the money and the sponsors and all that, they won't let me get away from fighting. You know, they just, there's things I could do, but that's not going to work out. You know, I might as well just go and take my punches. And, you know, I don't want to look back and say, why did I not just do it, you know? Because even though I don't feel great, I feel great to fight. I don't feel great about everything. But if I don't do this, then I don't know how I'm going to feel about myself.
I mean, I'll tell you how you should feel about yourself. You should feel like you're a legend. I should have told you, listen very carefully to these sound bites. Listen very carefully to what this guy says, because that is a wild series of statements. Like, he's saying that he wants to get away from fighting. He doesn't want to fight, but the elements around him will not let him get away from fighting. And then he'll tell you, I don't really like fighting, but I feel great about fighting. But I don't feel great about anything else involved other than that. Now, I'm guessing he's not alone in that. Let me tell you something about Nick, and then let me tell you something about every other fighter. Just about every other fighter on the planet will shift into fight mode when they talk about their opponent. They will tell you how confident they are. They will tell you about all the pain they're about to inflict on their opponent. Not Nick Diaz. Listen to what Nick says about this fight.
Do I feel confident? I never do. I never have. I've always felt like I'm gonna get trashed out there. Like every fight I've ever done. So, how do you feel against Robbie Lawler? How do you feel? I feel like I'm gonna get the out of me. And even when I win, I get beat up worse.
So awesome. It is such an honest response. It's like the most honest response I've ever heard from a fighter. Because you know guys think that, but they would never say it. And he makes the point that, you know what? I might get the bleep beat out of me. And even if I win, I still get beat up. It's a fight. It's not a basketball game or even a football game. You're stepping into a cage with a guy whose sole purpose is to leave you and render you unconscious or put you in so much pain that he makes you quit. So even if you win, you're still getting punched in the face. You're still getting elbowed. You're still getting kneed in the head. You can win and still get the hell beat out of you. And Nick is the first guy that I've ever heard who was honest enough and real enough to say, quote,
How do you feel?
How do you feel against Robbie Lawler? I feel like I'm going to get the bleep beat out of me.
How do you feel against Robbie Lawler? How do you feel? I feel like I'm going to get the beat out of me.
It's so great and so honest and so real. This is why people love the Diaz bros, because Nick is the only guy to say what so many other fighters are thinking but don't want to say. He knows that. He knows how other fighters think. He knows how other fighters feel going into a fight, the week of the fight.
I'm kind of a dark and dim person leading up to a fight because I just despise these people who are happy to go out.
Another great line. I'm a dark and dim dude going into a fight, and I despise these people who are happy to go out there.
I'm kind of a dark and dim person leading up to a fight because I just despise these people who are happy to go out.
Can you see why everybody missed Nick so much over the past 6 years? Because we've missed hearing that. That's the kind of thing you're only going to hear from Nick, or maybe Nate. And speaking of things you're only going to hear from Nick, this is Nick talking about what it was like to watch little bro, Nate, lose to Leon Edwards earlier this year.
Being away for 5 years and coming back and seeing that, that was really something new. You know, it really kind of knocked my block off. You know, like I took harder punches watching that than I ever did in sparring or in any fights. It's my brother. It's my baby brother. You know, it's hard to watch him fight.
Man, I'm telling you, again, the stone cold truth. And I get it. It would be brutal to watch your brother take shots like that. As the brother, and the older brother especially, I can see how those punches to Nate would hit Nick harder than anything that Nick faces in sparring or in a fight, because it's personal. Like, this is another reason why the Diaz brothers to me are the absolute best. A lot of it's personal. It is business, but it's so personal. Like, that's not the first time Nick has expressed profound love for baby bro Nate publicly. And considering these are two of the baddest, proudest dudes ever, I love seeing that. That said, and that aside for a moment, if Nick is in such a dark and dim place at the moment, and he saw his brother take all those shots, and he admitted that he's bracing to get the bleep kicked out of him as well, do you sense a lack of confidence? Do you sense that maybe he's not in the right headspace? That he's not confident? You'd be wrong about that, because he's got more thoughts on facing Lawler. Like the fact that he doesn't even think that he should be facing Lawler. He'd rather be fighting the welterweight champ, Kamaru Usman. The same Usman who Dana White told me on this show yesterday is the best pound-for-pound fighter in the world. Nick thinks that's the guy he should be fighting.
I think I'll beat Usman. I had a better shot at beating Usman than I do Lawler, just because I already beat Lawler. This doesn't make sense for me to go in there and fight Robbie Lawler again. I don't know why I'm doing this. This should not happen. Whoever set this up is an idiot. I don't know why I'm doing this. I don't know why this happened. I should be fighting Kamaru Usman, and that's it.
Best guy ever. Best dude ever. Best soundbite ever. I don't know why I'm doing this. I don't know why I'm fighting Robbie Lawler. Whoever set that up is an idiot. I shouldn't be doing this. I should be fighting Usman. I mean, how good is that?
Whoever set this up is an idiot.
How Diaz is that? This is a guy who has not been in a UFC cage in more than 6 years, and he's saying that in his return fight, he should be taking on the champ, the best in the world, pound for pound. And not only should he be taking on the champ, he's saying, I'd beat the crap out of the champ. It's so awesome. Like, I love the fact that he goes from saying, you know, I think I might get the bleep beaten out of me by Lawler, to saying that me fighting him is idiotic and I could beat the bleep out of Usman. And he says all this like in a matter of moments. To hear Nick Diaz tell it, Nick Diaz is the best fighter in the world, but at the same time, the worst fighter in the world. And normally I would say pick one. It can't be both. But in this case, I get it. It kind of actually is. And you know why? This is the first guy and the only guy to let us in. These are real, raw emotions that fighters go through on fight week when things do get dark and dim and your confidence and emotions are all over the place. The difference is this dude's not trying to hide it. Not only is he not trying to hide it, he's wearing it on his sleeve for everybody to see. Which is why almost everybody in that business loves him and his bro. And yes, he really does believe that he could beat the bleep out of Usman. And not only that, but according to Nick, it would be easier to beat him than it would be to beat Lawler, because he already beat Lawler. Never mind that when he beat Lawler, Usher's Yeah was on top of the charts and 50 First Dates was in theaters. Oh, and the fact that he doesn't even know why he's doing it, and that it should not happen. And quote, whoever set this up is an idiot.
Whoever set this up is an idiot.
It's just amazing. Just amazing. That's why it's so awesome to have Nick Diaz back. Because nobody else brings that kind of smoke. Nobody. Nobody. Except maybe baby bro. And just in case you were wondering, just because Nick thinks that he should be fighting the champ, and just because Nick thinks that the fight with Lawler should not happen, just because he feels like he's going to get the bleep beaten out of him by Lawler, do not confuse that with Nick thinking that Nick's not going to win, because he does believe he'll win, and that Lawler doesn't even deserve to get his ass whooped.
He don't deserve to get his ass whooped, and I know I'm going to beat the out of him, and I don't want to.
My man. My man is all over the place, and it is absolutely awesome. Let me tell you my two favorite people in the world right now. Nick Diaz and Nate Diaz. Absolutely. I had no idea what to expect from that interview. Just like I really have no idea what to expect from him on Saturday. I mean, the guy has been gone for 6 years. I don't know if Lawler is going to beat the crap out of him, or if he's going to beat the crap out of Lawler, or both. But I know this. It is damn good to have Nick Diaz back. 209 forever, baby. 209 forever. And one thing, as you can tell, I rarely disagree with Nick, but I may have to disagree with this. That part about him saying, whoever put this fight together is an idiot. To me, whoever put that fight together is a genius because it brought Nick back.
Whoever set this up is an idiot.
I can't get enough of that. Man, what a great, great interview. ESPN, Brett Okamoto, and just Nick doing Nick things, saying Nick things. This is why we talk MMA. This is why I have Dana White on. This is why I'm always hyping the Diaz boys. I love these guys. I mean, that is such an unusual and awesome interview. Absolutely incredible. So now, hearing all that, what do you think we're going to get this weekend? I have no idea. I know I can't wait. 1-800-636-8686. That was so unusual, I had to start with that. Other things I want to get to. It's not like I want to keep talking about Herb, but Herb keeps doing dumb things. Things that are bad optically, things that are not good for the Jags or for his legacy. And I've got another example of that. So I've got an update on Herb and the Jags. I'll give you a little teaser on that. Before the game against the Broncos, he was talking to Vic Fangio and was talking about, man, the players in this league are good. It's like playing Alabama every week. Yet, no kidding, Herb. Did you not know what you signed up for? The 49ers are busted up. Busted the hell up. Especially in their running back room. I got a solution. I know exactly who they should bring into their running back room. A guy who's been there before. A guy who wants to be there still. No names mentioned. Franklin freaking Gore.
Hell
yeah. I said it, clones. Something I meant to get to yesterday. Ben Roethlisberger and his pain and where that leaves them. Sounds like he's hurting but wants to give it a go, and I want to reset that. Something else I didn't get to yesterday that I may reset today. Ben Simmons and whether or not that situation can be rectified. He's made it clear. I'm not reporting. I'm not playing. Fans have made it pretty clear in Philly. Yeah, we don't care, dude. We don't want you here.
Trust the process?
Problem is, with the process, they can't get what they want for him. So can you bring the guy back? Can it still work? All of that is still ahead. What do you say you pick up the phone, you dial the toll-free number, you lob me a call, I get you on the air, you make it better. Maybe you even rip a golden ticket. It's still a thing. The smack-off. Next year. You still get big money if you win, and then you still get something that you can't even put a price tag on. Immortality. Legacy. Let's take a short timeout. Reggie Wayne coming up in 20 minutes. Over a century ago, Trico was the first company to make wiper blades, and they have been a step ahead of Mother Nature ever since, protecting drivers in the harshest weather from torrential downpours to gale force winds to wintry blasts in every climate across the country. Trico engineers constantly study your specific driving conditions to make sure you'll be ready for anything at all. So even if it actually does one day rain cats and dogs, they will have you ready. By the way, whoever came up with that phrase, pretty interesting imagination, right? Yeah, but don't worry. If it ever does happen, you will see past every single drenched Doberman and soggy Siamese. What I'm saying is, whether you encounter anything at all, You can rely on Trico wipers to maintain max windshield contact for safe, clear driving visibility in any conditions. And no matter what your driving habits are or what your car you drive, you will always find the right Trico wiper blades for you. Trico, the future of wipers since 1917. To find a store near you and see the latest offers, go to TricoCatsAndDogs.com. TricoCatsAndDogs.com.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
Fired up. Reggie Wayne is coming up in 15 minutes. Looking forward to that. Jim Trotter in the second hour. Micah Hyde coming up in hour number three. Got a little surprise on the Jim Rome podcast. It's not up yet. Normally it's up on Wednesday. If it's not up on Wednesday, it's up on Thursday. It's not going to be up today either, by the way, because I'm working on a little surprise for y'all. You'll like it. I don't want to give it up yet, but I'm going to bust out something different for the JR pod. Clones, one quick question. Why is Old Trapper beef jerky so amazing? Well, there is something to be said for a family business which stands by quality and produces the world's finest beef jerky. I know this family. I've been on the phone with the family. I know what they're about. So don't be fooled by other brands. All beef jerky is not one and the same. I think some of you think that it's all the same. Far from it. It's not. Make sure you choose Old Trapper. You can actually see the quality right through their Ionic Clearview packages. Every single bite of Old Trapper is tender. It's never tough because they use just the best ingredients. From their lean strips of beef, seasoned with top quality spices, to their real wood-fired smoke, Old Trapper delivers quality in every single bite, and Old Trapper comes in four exceptional flavors. Old Fashioned, classic beef jerky flavor, exceptionally tender, smoky and delicious. Rit is all over that. He's an old guy, so he likes Old Fashioned. Teriyaki with the yellow label. Old Trapper turned the flavor dial to 11. Hot and spicy with a spice so nice you want to snack twice. And peppered. Tender, seasoned beef covered in cracked pepper. It is a cold beer's best friend, so grab and go with a 4-ounce bag or load it up with an 18-ouncer. If you don't see it, ask for it by name because Old Trapper is without comparison. Old Trapper, what's your beef? 1-800-636-8686. Rare that I start the program with a giant block on MMA, but that's what you get when you have Nick Diaz making his return. And not only Nick Diaz making his return, but Nick Diaz doing an interview like that and saying the types of things that he says. That's what I love about those guys. They will say what others think, but would never say. Let's go to West Virginia. Get a phone call in here. Chris, good to have you on the show. Chris, how are you?
Good. How are you, Jim?
Good.
Thanks for taking the call. Just want to say 209 forever. War Diaz all day. I run a YouTube channel called The Community MMA, and what we're telling our subscribers is don't underestimate the fact that Nick Diaz hasn't been in the octagon for 6 years and that he hasn't won a fight in 10. My man is refreshed. He's coming back. He's trash-talking once again. He may be making silly comments about not understanding the fight, but make no mistake, he's going to win this fight, and he's going to get a top 10 opponent next and start to work his way back up the ladder. Thanks, Jim. Thanks for covering UFC. Love.
You got it, Chris. Listen, I hope you're right. The thing about the Diaz is you just never know, right? They made it pretty clear. They don't need the fight game per se. They don't have to fight. Obviously, Nick does not have to fight. Obviously, Nick does not even love to fight. I think that Nick loves the game itself and what it can do for people, but he doesn't love to fight. And that's not just me on the outside looking in and speculating. He says as much. So, and when you say, I know he said some silly things, but I don't think he said anything silly at all. I loved it all. Now, to your point, he's going to win the fight and then get a shot at a top 10 opponent and then get right back into it. Best case scenario, best world scenario, that's exactly what happens. I don't know if I believe that. I don't know if this is a one-off. I don't think that he's going to do anything to embarrass himself. These guys stay in shape, and they take it really seriously. So ring rust, to me, is a real thing for most guys, and especially if you've been off 6 years. Remember, the two of these guys first fought 17 years ago. But I'm saying don't put anything by this guy. This guy's different. I'm really curious to see how he shows up and how he looks. But I'm pretty well convinced. I can't guarantee what it's going to look and feel like, but I can almost certainly guarantee that he will not embarrass himself. He takes care of himself. He's got an enormous amount of pride. Honestly, I don't root, but anything that brings him back for an additional fight, I'm going to root for. So, nothing against Robbie Lawler. I'm not rooting. I'm only rooting for more Nick Diaz. So, in that sense, I hope he does win. And then I hope he does get a shot at a contender. But only Nick would say, man, I don't know. This guy might beat the crap out of me. He might. But I'll probably beat the crap out of him, and he doesn't even deserve it, and I don't even know why I'm fighting him. Oh, and by the way, I want to fight 15 pounds more than what I agreed to fight. And I'm going to let you know that too. And why am I not fighting the best in the world? Because I am the best in the world. But this guy might beat the crap out of me. I got to be honest. You rule, Nick. You're the best. I can't wait. Let me tell you about Nick, too. One more thing before I go to break. Nick has been in the cage with the best of the best. It may have been 6 years, but the last two guys he fought, Anderson Silva and GSP. All right? He's an extremely credible dude. He's had some enormous fights, but none in 6 years. All right. When we come back, Reggie Wayne is going to join us. First up, though, I've got a bottom of the hour sports update. Here is the latest on a busy Thursday. Here is Andrew Jim Rome. I am live. I'm in Southern California, and I am pumped to have this conversation. We're joined right now by a Super Bowl champ, a three-time All-Pro, a six-time Pro Bowler, one of just 12 players in NFL history with more than 14,000 receiving yards, the Colts' all-time leader in games played, a member of the Colts' Ring of Honor. He was the 30th pick overall in 2001 out of the U. He is appearing today courtesy of DraftKings. He is Reggie Wayne. Reggie, it is so good to have you on. Reggie, how are you?
I'm good, Jim. Appreciate you having me.
God, so good to have you, Reggie. Great to hear your voice. Now, let me ask you, I want to talk about a number of things with you, but you had a tweet last week that I thought was really interesting. Let me read this. Quote, I'm not buying into all these teams in the NFL until week three, maybe week four. As much as we players may not want to play in preseason games, it's necessary on so many levels. Them joint practices during training camp are cool and all, but it's not a real game. End of quote. I think that's really interesting. Can you start there? Break that down. How important are preseason games from a receiver standpoint, and then how long does it take for most guys to get their timing down?
Well, you got to understand, Jim, you know, you're going in, you know, especially nowadays, right, you're with the OTAs and all that stuff. It's not like it was like when I first got in the league. You know, it's, everything is no pads, and some no helmets, you know, and you're just basically out there running on air, you know, no competition, whatever the case may be. But the preseason is one of those things where I really feel like it helps you kind of get back into football shape, right? Get back into the game. Like, games, it moves so fast. Everything happens in a split of a second. Joint practices is cool. It's cool to have, but it's nowhere close to being in the game. And like you mentioned about with my quote, like, as much as us, especially veteran players, we don't want to play in preseason, and it's mainly because, like, the pay is not the same, and two, you don't want to get hurt. You know what I mean? And, you know, but for a receiver, like, we need that timing with the quarterbacks. You know, you really do. And some people may argue, well, that's what you practice for. Yeah, but practice and games aren't the same. You know, practice when it may be, you know, if it's a camp practice that may have a few thousand people compared to 65,000 people, that's a difference in itself. You know what I mean? And now you got somebody that's really trying to make a roster, you know, and out there, and they know that their moms and dad and friends are watching, you know, like, they're coming after you. You know what I mean? So, like, it's just a difference all across the board, and I think it's necessary. You know, I just, for myself, and I may not be able to speak for a lot of, you know, players or former players, you know, but me, I need it. That time to go out there and catch a pass from Peyton Manning, catch a pass from Andrew Luck, just to get that timing down, just because it's a different element, it's a different feel. And I really feel like right now, the first 2 weeks, you know, a lot of teams are missing that. And I think, to be honest with you, that's my favorite team in Indianapolis Colts. I think these first 2 weeks was a preseason game for them. So right now, this week, I really feel like we're going to find out who they are, and it couldn't happen to, you know, with a better opponent, with Tennessee Titans coming in, for one, a division opponent, and two, a team where a lot of people have rated high. So they got a chance to show everybody what they can do.
I appreciate that response. Reggie Wayne joining us. He's appearing courtesy of DraftKings, which we will get into in a moment or two. Reggie, I had Aqib Talib on the show recently. We were talking about his trip to Canton for the induction of Peyton Manning. I know you were there as well for Peyton and Edgerrin James. What was that experience like for you and to see those two guys go in?
Man, it was great. You know, whenever you get, you know, teammates going in, you're excited for them. You're enjoying the experience, you know, and these guys deserve it. You know, they really do. I've watched these guys for years, put the hard work in, lead by example, become professionals. And man, I can go back, Jim, if you don't mind, like the last three or four, you know, Hall of Fames, I've been there, you know what I mean? So I've been there with, you know, Bill Polian, Marvin Harrison, Tony Dungy, you know, my college roommate and great friend, brother, you know, Ed Reed. And then you have Peyton and Edgerrin, you know. So, like, man, I probably ought to own a little stock somewhere in Canton. I've been there the last few years, you know what I mean? But, man, I'm glad to see it, you know, these guys going. We know that these, is, you know, once you're in there, you're amongst the elite of the elite. And just seeing my friends and teammates go in and coaches, you know, it's outstanding. Well deserved.
Reggie Wayne joining us. Reggie, you're a candidate for the Hall of Fame yourself again this year. What's that process been like for you personally, and what would it mean for you to go in?
You know, personally, I'm just enjoying the ride. You know, I've been blessed enough. This is my third year, as you mentioned. I've been blessed to be a finalist the first 2 years. You know, so I've been the last couple of years, been the Queen of England. I just go around and wave, you know, and I enjoy it, you know. And I understand that's a process. And you know, as much as you may think, you know that process, you don't, you know. But so you just wait until they call your name or knock on your door, I should say. And once they do, it would be an honor. I mean, it's only so many people. What is it, like 340 guys in a Hall of Fame? Like, it's great. Like, it's the elite of the elite. You can't get any a higher honor than the Hall of Fame. And as a kid, you know, I don't even know if I knew what the Hall of Fame was as a kid. I didn't want to be a football player when I was 7 years old to be a Hall of Famer. You know, I just wanted to play football. That's all I ever wanted to do. That was my dream. You know, so to live out my dream and being a, you know, have an opportunity to be amongst the best to ever play, it would be a humbling experience, man. It really would be, and I would be excited.
We're talking ball with Reggie Wayne. It is the most exclusive club there is. I got to ask you about this, too. You joined, or you are joined, on the list of modern era nominees by a couple of other Colts, including Reggie, one of my favorite guys ever, Bob Sanders. I've always been so just mesmerized. I mean, like, so fascinated by Sanders and the intensity that he brought to it. What was he like as a teammate?
It was great. He really was. We knew if Bob was healthy and coming into a game, we know we had a higher chance of winning, because just like you say, he was going to bring that intensity. He was going to fire that defense up. He was going to figure out a way to create a turnover. And I think our defensive players, they loved when he was out there. You know, he was one of those guys where, you know, you look at him, he was quiet. You know, he didn't say much, you know, but you feel him when he come around you, you know, especially if he hits you. And I always laugh at Bob, man. Bob had one speed at practice. He had 100 miles per hour. That's all he had. And we used to get on Bob, you know, because there would be a tip ball and Bob would be in practice diving for it. And we'd be like, whoa, 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 Bob. We need you, bro. We need you for the game. And he was like, man. I mean, he said, watch. That same tip pass is going to happen in the game. And I just want to make sure I can make that play. And sure enough, it'll happen in the game. You know what I mean? Like, He just lived every day in practice as if it was game for him. And that's what you respect about him.
Such good stuff. And you are, as you practice, Reggie Wayne joining us. Reggie, a while back, you were part of a panel with Ray Lewis, another guy you mentioned, Ed Reed, Michael Irvin, Jimmy Johnson in Miami. You guys were talking about the U and what you all built at Miami. When you look back on that time at Miami, what are the memories that stick out to you the most, and what was that experience like?
Man, the brotherhood, the fellowship. That's always what it is. Obviously, college football is different now. These guys can go and they can make money off the field, you know, and stuff like that, you know. But when we were in school, we knew, like, we all was on the same playing field. There was no money. We all had the same goal. You know, we all wanted to be NFL players, and we all took care of each other. You know, one thing about Miami when we were there, man, if one guy went out, everybody went out. You know, we all stuck together no matter what. And that led to on-the-field play. We didn't want to let our teammate down. You know, we knew we weren't going to win them all, you know, but I know, look, every play, you gave it everything you got, and I know, and you know that I was going to do the same. And that's kind of how it was. And that's still how it is even after football. Like, we're still family. We still can call each other. We still can count on each other. We still can say, hey man, like, I need you for this appearance. Can you make it? Yeah, man, I'm there. That's what we do. And man, I probably got about 5 or 6 chats on my, text messages, you know, with different players from college. And, man, it lives on. It really does. And that's what you miss. You know, obviously, you know, the games and stuff were fun and all that stuff. But just the stuff we did outside of the football, you know, field, just hanging out and just talking stories, you know, that's what you miss. Like, my roommate was Ed Reed, you know, and we just sitting back with the same vision, wanting to play in the NFL, wanting to, you know, not even thinking about a Hall of Fame status. We just wanted to be good teammates and good players, you know. And we sat back and we talk about that, and that's stuff we talk about today when we sit down. You're like, man, you remember sitting in the apartment and we sitting up there, you know, just talking about, man, you know, being good NFL football players and lining up across each other and things like that. And now he's in the Hall of Fame. I got a chance to be in the Hall of Fame. That's what makes all those times sweet. You know, that's what we enjoy, and that's what I miss the most.
I can't get enough of it. The U, the brotherhood, I always love hearing those anecdotes and those stories. Reggie Wayne, my guest. So, Reggie, you're working with DraftKings today. I mean, I could talk to you for hours, but I want you to lay that out for me. What are you doing with the folks at DraftKings?
Yeah, you know, DraftKings is doing something special, man. And NFL football is the most popular sport across DraftKings products. And with this new 2021 season underway, you know, I've decided to team up with DraftKings to help, you know, everybody get into action. And this season, DraftKings Sportsbook and Daily Fantasy are doing some special things with promos and offerings to all the users and fans. And like this week alone, DraftKings will offer sports betting. It's you know, same game parlays up to $25. And they got this new thing called Wild Cards where, you know, customers who either enter the DFS contest or place a sports wager will receive a digital card. You know, that features a player challenge, and instantly they can win prizes up to $50 million in total prizes, you know, and a trip to the Super Bowl. So DraftKings are doing something. They're taking advantage of all of this sports betting, and they want everybody else to do the same. So if that's your bag, why not, man? Give it a shot.
Exactly.
I joined in, Jim, with him. That's how special it is.
No, I love it. If that is your bag, you should give it your shot, and it should be your bag.
Yes.
Really quickly, Rich, I want to ask you about one thing, and we're kind of tight on time, but you, on that panel we mentioned, you were talking about a game against Syracuse that you did not play in because you got hurt, and Syracuse didn't just beat you guys, but they ran it up. You've called that kind of like a pivotal point, a critical point, a changing point of your entire life. How so?
Well, you know, it was one of those things where, I tore my ACL the week of, and they ran the score up. Donovan McNabb and them ran the score up, man. They really did. They beat a 66-13, if I'm not mistaken. And what our receiver coach did, you know, and they were going to the Orange Bowl. What our receiver coach did, he brought all the receivers back up the field and made us watch them celebrate. And we sat there and watched them throw oranges all across the field and fans cheering. And that kind of opened our eyes a little bit. That really did. That made us think, like, we got a lot of work to do, and we want to celebrate just like these people. You know, and we went back on the plane and we told that story to everybody, and they kind of, you know, everybody, the plane got quiet, you know, because, you know, we looked at it like it was a form of a little bit of disrespect. But guess what? If we would have played better, they wouldn't have ran the score up. You know, that's how we look at it, you know. But it was just one of those things where we knew we had a lot of work to do. And from that point on, you know, Jim, we vowed to become better players, better students of the game. And after that, we went on to play against NC. I want to say they went on to play UCLA. Edwin James had 300 yards. And then we played, you know, against Torrey Holton, NC State in the Mike Brown PC Bowl. And we won that game. And after that, man, we just went on a string. We went 11-1, 12-0, and 12-0. Like, it just, to me, it opened up everybody's eyes and made us realize that, man, if we want to become a good team, look at these dudes celebrate. Remember this feeling. Remember how it felt. And it wasn't a good feeling. And we really grew from that.
Ask me, Reggie, you've got a Hall of Fame resume, Hall of Fame numbers, Hall of Fame career, Hall of Fame mindset for sure. So when you get that yellow jacket, you make sure you stop by here again, because I got a lot of other things I want to talk to you about. And I want to thank you very much for that conversation. That's how you do it. That's a great conversation right there. Reggie Wayne, appearing courtesy of DraftKings. Reggie, I appreciate you so much, and thank you very much for doing it. That was a blast.
Appreciate you having me, Jim.
Great job, my man. So fun. So good. Reggie Wayne. Love that conversation. All right, there's hour number one. Your thoughts on that? Ask me. He's a Hall of Famer. The only thing that you could say that might trip that up is he played with so many extremely talented guys that maybe somebody might hold that against him. Look at the numbers. That's a Hall of Famer. To me, that's a Hall of Famer. Top 10 in receptions, top 10 in receiving yardage, multiple Pro Bowls, has the ring. That's a Hall of Famer to me. All right, we come back. Hour number two. Jim Trotter coming up. I've got an open segment to start hour number two. Do not go anywhere.